Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we want to really give you, this is kind of a real helpful conversation Amy and I are going to have. We may have another guest come on, but we really want to make it about really the topic more than any about the cafe diners that are going to be coming in. So we're the Tuesday after the Las Vegas shooting that occurred. And boy, one thing I would really like for this show to be is about, you know, being able to be facing change in just a new dynamic way. And go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy, Amy Frost. Hello, come on. Hi, Amy. I knew you were going to do that. How did I know you were going to do that? Oh, my gosh.
That's where I'm at.
We're all feeling that way.
This is where I want to be.
I know, huh?
Did you hear
the crap out of everybody. That's where you want to be, yeah. But, yeah, we're all like, I want to be the screaming thing. Amy had sent me Gary Zukav's message called writings that he offered. Is this a blog or it's just he does offerings through email, I guess?
Well, this was he sent out through Constant Contact. I got it today about the Las Vegas, and I guess he felt called. You know, I didn't, and let me just make this point. It's really interesting. Sorry to say, being you know Las Vegas really is my home at this point, and to see how people are reacting to the shooting. Who are living here, who are outside of here, and the different ways that they're reacting to it. And Gary called to do this writing, which we'll talk about. And what I've been telling people is whatever your gifts and talents and abilities are, focus on where are you going to put your attention instead of all kinds of crazy, you know, coming up with conspiracy ideas and all kinds of hate and whatever it is like, you know, what is it that this is bringing up for you and what is it that you, how you want to be of support?
You know, just for you saying that, one thing that's really just becoming to the front for me is, do you want to be doing your karma or do you want to be doing your dharma? And for people who aren't familiar
once you lay that out for people, what do you mean?
Yeah, those two phrases, karma is basically, as I do to others, it's kind of an eye for an eye and things like that, where you're basically going to be, you know, in doing whatever kind of acts to come back to you. And dharma is really coming from living your gifts and talents and putting those out into the world to benefit the world. So, boy, if we all started working on our dharma instead of focusing on karma, because, you know, there's just so much out there now about, you know, all that karma came back at him or whatever. It's like, wow, wouldn't it be great if my dharma came back at me? My gifts and talents came back in a way that, you know, benefited everybody, you know. So just kind of looking at it from just that different kind of perspective. And I've been sharing that idea with a few people, and they're like, I didn't even know what dharma was, and I love that idea. And I think really being on the planet, that's really what we're meant to be doing.
Well, and I think this is my opinion, so tell me what you feel about this. But how I look at dharma is really our divine purpose. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, our divine purpose, using all the gifts and talents that we have and having it be, you know, the passions of our heart and how it can go out there and really benefit. But I think our dharma really benefits others. You know, it's a gift that we give to everyone with our just being able to be authentic. We were talking about being authentic and being in this place of vulnerable and things like that right before the show started. And with Brene Brown, she's got a new book out, and she's got a few conversations. I mean, through all the research that she's done, we've had conversations about Brene on the show before, but she's a researcher, And she did a TED Talk that basically just exploded. We talked about that a couple years ago on the show. And if you get a chance to go back and look at that, it's really great. But there's just this whole idea of the power of vulnerability. And it really just put everything upside down when people started thinking about that. Because in society, we're not just necessarily putting it that way. And I think with the message that Gary has, there's that sense of being in a place where, you know, I could get mad, but if I could be in a place of seeking to just be more open and to reach out to people who need it and, you know, what's going on, I think can really help us to really be in a just a very different place. I was watching right after that on Monday morning after it happened on Sunday, and early in the morning, like about 5 o'clock in the morning, they were at the LAX airport, and they were just interviewing people who were going to Las Vegas, and they interviewed this gentleman, and not unknown to the reporter, he was actually going there because one of his daughters had gotten shot in the stomach, and she was kind of surprised with the whole story. Yeah, and the one message that the man had was, and she said, "What's your biggest challenge right now?" And he said, "Not to be overcome by my anger." And I thought that was really beautiful. He looks straight into the camera and he says, "That doesn't help us, help any of us, is I'm seeking to be there to support and have compassion and to hold, you know, to take care of, you know, what we can do and let go of those things that just don't make sense right now." Because how does that help anybody? Yeah. So I think that was really beautiful that he could be in such a very present moment place. And know that really was, you know, then of course, you know, his daughter was okay, and she was going into surgery, and she was already being sedated, and he was had an opportunity to talk to her before she was going to go in. She's going to be okay. So, you know, we have those situations with it too. But I just think it's really interesting, you know, what's been bringing up for people in conversations since this happened. You know, it's definitely helping because it reminded me of 9/11. And, you know, one of the other things that came up in that first few things when they were covering it was this guy who was a retired vet, and he had been a part of a SWAT team. And he just said, you know, the paradigm, just like in 9/11, has changed. You know, we didn't think these things were possible, and now they are. So how do we look at the world and look at one another in a new way? And, you know, I think that can be both sides of everything. You know, it helps us to be that much more in a place of respect for hopefully each other and also to recognize the preciousness of life.
Well, and I think whatever you're working, right, is going to come up for you. And watching how people are dealing with this, like some people are taking this as an opportunity to attempt to better their careers or something. You know what I mean? We're seeing people grabbing on in that way. You know, you made an interesting comment today when I had talked to you earlier about people, you were getting requests from people to send flowers. You know, you want to talk about that a little bit? I think that's an interesting outcome.
Yeah, because with my wire services that I have, there's been quite a few people just in the Southern California area that did go to that concert. And I'm getting a real, we're getting a good handful of people sending flowers to people that knew that they had gone to the concert and that they were survived and they were okay and that people were grateful for them. So they were just celebrating life and celebrating the fact, I'm so grateful you're in my life. I celebrate you.
And it's really interesting what Vegas represents. A couple of the outcomes I'm finding really interesting. I know how amazing people are here in Vegas. And, you know, we get a bad rap in many ways. But people are so shocked that people helped each other and are continuing to help each other. That's who we are. You know, we're kind of pioneers and we are, you know, people that do make things happen. And do care for each other, and I think that's even opening up even more. And we're also an international city, so what happened in that event affected the whole entire world. There were people from everywhere that were at that concert, and an interesting side effect is like there had people. I know things you've watched where people came with their trucks and loaded people into the back of them and got them to the hospitals and. A good friend of mine, a trauma nurse, it was her day off and she was sleeping and her husband was debating, do I wake her up or not? Because she, you know, she works really hard and she's really exhausted. And he just waited until he said, she would really want to have done her part. So he did wake her up and how what she was going through was also he was going through. So lots of opportunities, mm-hmm. you know, to look at how do I make a difference in my own community? How do I make a difference in the world? How do I make a difference in my family? All within this laboratory. And what I'm finding is really interesting. I have not found anybody who is not either directly been part of knowing somebody or there or knows of somebody directly. So, I mean, everywhere I'm going. And so, and, you know, we have to know, we don't know where everybody is yet either. I don't know out of those 500 plus people that were hurt who I know or don't know. I'm still finding out. It's like as simple as I went to have my nails done this morning, and the reception, I've been going there, you know, for years. The receptionist, who I like to say is my, you know, is a hey friend. I just, hey, how are you? I don't really know this person, but she wasn't there this morning. And it was like, then they all found out when I found out, you know, that, she, you know, they, I don't know how they found out on Facebook or something that she'd been shot, and nobody really knew the extent of it, but they had a card there with everybody, and they had a big jar. They were collecting money to support her wherever they needed to. I mean, okay, I didn't really have a relationship with that person, but it affects me and affects all these people that I see every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. And so you were there when that happened too. That's interesting. Yeah,
and seeing a lot of that. And I think in some ways it's really waking people up to, there really wasn't a relationship, but there kind of was, right? So it was all these different people that, you know, and there was another thing with a waitress today I see on a regular basis. And you could tell everybody has kind of this sadness anyway right now. And I didn't go to work yesterday because, I lost a friend. I'm like, oh, man. So I spent some time with her and ended up giving her my card and saying, what can I do to help? And it wasn't like we were unfriendly with each other, but there was no real intersect point until then.
Well, let me go ahead and read this message from Gary Zirkoff. And again, if you're not familiar with Gary Zirkoff is Z-U-K-A-S, or I'm sorry, Z-U-K-A-B, as in victory. He's the writer of Seed of the Soul, and this is called A Soul Thought. And if you're not familiar with Seed of the Soul, it's been around for how long? 15 years?
Well, they had the 25th anniversary, I guess, a year or two ago. And I have my master's in spiritual psychology. It was one of our textbooks.
Yeah, and I know from I first learned about it with Oprah, you know, when she had her show, and for a long, long time, I think she still does. She has it as one of her books she has by her bed, and you know, knows Gary really well, and has just really learned so much of her personal growth through this book. And it's one of those books that, what do you think about that book?
Well, let me further that a little bit with the Oprah. She had him on her Soul series a couple of weeks ago talking about the 25th anniversary, and he does have a video thing that goes with it, and I do recommend that. So I did the book originally when it first came out when I was working on my master's, and then when the 25th anniversary came out in the video series that they had, I did it then too. And it's one of those things. It took a while to kind of sink in. It is, but it's very much like a lot of the things that, you know, like Deepak the other guy that she did the series with. I'm going brain fried at the moment.
Oh, Eckhart Tolle.
Thank you very much, Eckhart Tolle. So very much, kind of the same thing, that's kind of the trifecta of awareness. And it's, I think for me anyway, it took a while for it kind of to sink in. Because it changes everything. It changes how you look at things. And once you change that perspective, it's kind of like what I've been going through. I mean, this has been really tough, you know, dealing not really so much even with my stuff of what's happened, but the after effect from everybody else. And it's bringing up things that people have not healed. And so it's really been intense for me, but also in a, from a very centered, calm place. But that's because I'm continuously doing this work and coming from this perspective. But again, it's been work, having read it and doing homework on it. We actually did homework the first time, and then 20 years later, working on it again. And not that it's going to take all of you that long, because you're much smarter than me, but it took me a while to get it. But once you get it, it's like, wow, you know, how can I really come from love? How can I really
right.
take everything and use it, at, you know, to grow and to expand?
He's also got a seat of the soul for relationships, right? Like a seat of the soul in love or something like that.
I can't remember the name of it. I'd have to look. But why don't you dive in on you said you wanted to read that?
Okay, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and read the message in, and if you want to, you know, make any comments while I'm reading it. But I definitely want to talk about it once I read it. So, again, it's called Las Vegas Close to Home. It's a spiritual partner in Las Vegas who knows how to create authentic power, who understands about emotional pain and the destructive consequences that follow from acting on it with quiet and solemn. The terrible senseless death, the deranged murderer, the grieving of those still alive, the shock of an impending nightmare became real and then gone, leaving a stunned silence filled with disbelief and anger, rage, depression, all the experiences of frightened parts of the personality. Our spiritual partner has helped many people develop emotional awareness and make responsible choices in difficult times. These are exactly the times when creating authentic power is most needed and most fruitful. A time when conscious choice is love, reach out, replace vengeance with compassion, and forgive are most difficult. And the rewards of doing these things, while the emotional pain is greatest, are the most freeing, imaginable, and liberating. All this presented itself to our spiritual partner in Las Vegas, and it presents itself to everyone day after day. When the death leaves us altered in ways that we do not yet understand, when violence imposes itself, those things were close to her home because it was her neighbors, among others, who died, and the neighbors who had killed them. Every day, millions of people suffer brutality and death in sinking island nations, former colonies, in war-raged Africa, and around the world. Their suffering is also close to home, our home, as our consciousness expands beyond the limitations of our five senses. Our home becomes very large, and the people in it become very close. Fear and death, love and blessings, self-service, and selfless service are close to home for all of us. Every suffering and every joy is close to home. The Dakota people say the joy of one is the joy of all, and the suffering of one is the suffering of all. Everything you do is close to home, everyone. Everything I do is close to home for everyone. And he said, what shall we do with this understanding? And I just thought that was really, really wonderful, the way he was able to bring it back into really looking at, you know, making those choices that really serve us in just a different level.
So I asked the question of you, what has this done for you, Robin? How are you looking at things differently from this experience?
Well, from this experience, I automatically went back to 9/11, and I was thinking about all those people that, you know, dying in the towers. And from a spiritual perspective, I really sensed that it was this 2x4, spiritual 2x4, that was really an invitation for us to be able to look at life in a totally different way. And I really wanted to come from a level of gratitude for knowing that those lives were in service of us, helping to grow us on a very spiritual level, and to help us to evolve and to be, you know, bigger and more compassionate than we've ever thought we could be. So yesterday when I found out about it, I was very sad. And my coworkers and I, we really kind of spent some time just kind of being together. We don't necessarily did a lot of work. We know we did what we had to do, but a lot of time we were just allowing each other to sit around and talk about how we felt about things. And I think that was very helpful, you know, just being able to just hear one another and what we think that means, and, you know, going through the process. So, you know, just like anything, you know, when you've got something where you're trying to make sense of it, it isn't necessarily something that, like, you know, the light bulb goes on. It can be a process. And I think that's really what's happening with everybody, you know, looking at this from just this new paradigm that's been opened up for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think this will keep this. Yeah, this will keep unfolding because it merely makes you look at, you know, our safety. How do we feel safe? What will we do to protect ourselves? Who is the enemy, and how people are trying to define, you know, based on this person, you know, how mm-hmm. do we relate to that as an enemy? And mm-hmm. what I would challenge people to do, you know, and it's really interesting to watch how people come at this gun control and, you know, whatever way you choose to come at it is, and I always like to, you know, comes to me is, you know, there aren't enough metal detectors, you know, there aren't enough laws. If somebody really wants to do something badly enough, they're going to find a way. So I don't want to be part mm-hmm. of those conversations. That's for other people to figure out than me. But for me, it's really about how do I help people to be self-resilient? How do I help myself to be self-resilient? I like going through this. I've got all kinds of people coming at me, looking at me to be the strong one, looking at me to have the answers. And part of that is, you know what, sometimes I don't. And mm-hmm. I'm very careful about going out in public, and because mm-hmm. I'm like you, very soon all of a sudden I'm having these conversations, and it's very challenging for me not to help them. Not that it's wrong to do that, but I need to make sure I'm doing my own work instead of bypassing my work by finding other people to help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I think a part of it's just being really clear about, you know, what it is for me and how does that look. You know, I think that's really, really important. Yeah.
And, you know, will I do anything differently? I think for me, it's also that codependency issue. Is like I mm-hmm. could, and I'm observing some really good friends of mine doing that. They are running out and getting, you know, blankets for people and helping people donate blood and all that. Not that any of that's a bad thing, but they are running and running and running. And I believe that, and you know, and there comes a time there's denial, and I get that. But there's also at a certain point where you have to stop and look at what's really going on for me before that reptilian brain takes over so strongly that, you know, maybe you start drinking again or you have an accident or you say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time and something really awful can happen. So, mm-hmm. you know, I get a little bit of denial is a good thing. But if you're not careful, you stay there so long, you can't get out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I, you know, think about when, you know, when a loved one passes, you know, you're kind of an automatic. You're getting the service taken care of, and you're contacting people, and you're kind of the gathering of all these different things. I think Las Vegas has done an amazing job of really reaching for the community, give them a sense of, you know, having the vigil they had last night, and just really making the convention center a place where people can go and meet and be able to have a place where there's answers. And if you're just doing mm-hmm. a really great job with all that. So it's, you know, amazing to see how, you know, all levels of government are helping and things like that. So it's just, you know, but then you look at that and then you look at Puerto Rico and things like that that are happening at the same time and just trying to make sense of everything. You know, what warrants a sense of support as opposed to other places where they need help just as much. And then maybe in a different way, and it looks different. Right. But, yeah, it is really different. Yeah.
And
so, you know,
it's almost like, you know, in terms of, like, with Puerto Rico, you know, they've pushed away statehood, not that it's good or it's bad. And it's almost like this, you know, state of entitlement that I think that's mm-hmm. part of the reaction. Is that you come from this entitled perspective for so long that people are like, no, you know, there's so much help that needs to be done in so many places, and people are prioritizing. I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but it's interesting to watch mm-hmm. how things are happening. You know, there's always a reason why things are happening the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's just very interesting to see how states are taking care of themselves, how the government, you know, choosing to come in and help out, things like that too. So I think for Las Vegas, it's definitely, you know, the city and the state that's really come to support on all the different, you know, ways that they could with all that stuff. So coming from your perspective as a counselor, what are maybe some tools that we can, you know, leave our listeners, our CAFE members, with some of the stuff of just dealing with this kind of news and trauma, you know, even if you're just watching this on TV and then having that come back to you in ways that you're looking at life from a different perspective.
Or is it first and foremost, if you find yourself really obsessing, maybe crying uncontrollably and you can't stop doing behaviors that are not healthy for you, especially if you have a tendency towards addiction, towards unhealthy things, get some professional help. Maybe, you know, start going to, you know, an AA meeting or whatever you need to do. Don't wait to do it. Start doing, reaching out to friends. There's lots of great techniques like the trauma tapping technique. If you go to peacefulheart.se, they have the 5-minute video that you can do. I recommend people do that when your things are going on in the morning and at night, and maybe, you know, during the day if you're feeling anxiety. So a lot of great tapping techniques. So I think, but get really making sure that you have a good support system and that you're relying on it. So is there anything in particular? I know you've gone through a lot of challenging times. What is your go-to thing when you're feeling that you need? And part of like with the TTT, the trauma tapping technique or the tension tapping technique, it's the same thing. They just call it different things depending on who they're working with. What that does is your brain kind of goes into, and I can't think, I can't make a decision. So I recommend people do this 5-minute TTT session, and then they can start making some decisions. Or just otherwise, mm-hmm. You know, you can get in the car and do something really dumb. You know, because
you're not fully present. Yeah, you're not fully present
right.
While you're driving because you're
in front of
part of your mind someplace else. Yeah.
I think for some of the
things that I would suggest, you know, just as we talked before, you know, just seek to find someone that you can have conversations with to be able to process. Maybe journaling would be a great idea. You know, sitting down and writing about how you feel, and not editing yourself and letting yourself just kind of get that out. But it's really important to feel like you can connect to other people. You know, even if that's just, you know, even if you don't have somebody close to you that you can do, you know, find somebody on that you can be doing some, you know, blogging to or writing to, you know, texting to, that kind of thing. Just to be reaching out and making sure that you're feeling connected and you're allowing yourself to feel what you need to feel. That's just really very, very, very important. And just doing self-care, you know, slow down, make sure you're, you know, let yourself eat, you know, comfort foods that are, you know, that all in moderation, but you're trying to eat healthy and, you know, I watched it for a little while on Monday and, you know, you totally can get just, you know, swallowed by all that with the news and stuff, the way it just pulls you in. And I stopped myself and I put on some music and, you know, kind of went about my day taking care of my home. And, you know, part of my self-care is taking care of my home for me. So I just kind of did that. And again, you know, any time to be able to sit with other people and for us to be able to share. So I think that's all healthy ways of being able to look at that kind of stuff. So we'll go ahead and be listing some different things just on a general basis of things. And, you know, we've done some shows in the past about that where it's about being able to embrace yourself when, you know, you've got these challenges. And we'll go ahead and have that as a you can go back and be able to listen to that show as well. Because, you know, we've definitely had a lot of things to be able to put ourselves in front of. And more than anything, I think, you know, we need to just stop and appreciate ourselves and just look how strong we are, look how resilient we can be, and being grateful for just those things in our life that are simple but yet can make all the difference. You know, having
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, as we're almost finished here, looking at Gary's work, the Seed of the Soul came out in 1990, and I think it was 94, 95, and so that came out then, and then the Seed of the Soul 25th anniversary was in 2014, so that's out there for you, and we were talking earlier about partnership. His other book, which I think is interesting, is called Spiritual Partnership, The Journey to Authentic Power. It would be a really interesting read, too, because, you know, having two people come together, you know, for the purpose of spiritual partnership is much different, you know, than what we think traditional relationship is. So I'm thinking, you know, at some point we might want to do the book club on Seed of the Soul or maybe Spiritual Partnership.
Okay, that sounds good. Well, we want to thank all of our regular listeners and, you know, really want to send our love and prayers to everyone out there with just really dealing with this on a very personal level, that there may be some comfort and understanding coming from all these things that, and, you know, really love to hear from anybody wanting to share just, you know, where they are with things. And if you're needing any help, you know, we definitely can guide you to directions of, you know, things that could be helping in your local area. So, again, we wanted to thank you, and thanks for joining us here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.